Welcome to Common Prayer, episode 52 on Thursday, May 21st. Today, we continue to practice remembering what God has done, seeing what He has renewed, pausing to ponder the amazement of it all, and reflecting that amazement back to God in adoration. Welcome to Common Prayer.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome back to Common Prayer. It is good to have you with us again and good to be with you praying with one another, and just glad that you would be tuning into this. And gosh, I hope you've been able to get outside the past few days and enjoy this weather. I mean, I was on a long walk today with my daughter. We walked kind of down our street about a block away. It's this just really beautiful park, and we were walking through that, and gosh, just gorgeous outside. We were exploring in the trees and getting some fresh air. I hope you've been able to do that as well in some capacity. You know, today I wanted to kind of expand a little bit on our discussion yesterday. We looked at this idea of adoring God, of cultivating adoration, the spontaneous kind of welling up of worship and praise from within us. And we talked about how we think that, you know, a lot of times that comes from, or how we cultivate that, is through this idea of thankfulness. And I want to kind of come at this maybe from a little bit of a different perspective today, but I want to kind of do it in the same vein. And you know, one of the things that I've been doing with my daughters is we've actually been reading through C.S. Lewis's The Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, and we plan to kind of trek through the Chronicles of Narnia. I've always been a fan of C.S. Lewis's works. I've read a ton of his stuff, but actually I've never read the Chronicles of Narnia. And so we've been doing about two chapters a night, and it's been so fun. I understand why they're so popular, because they are just so beautifully written and yet so accessible. And in those books, and I just kind of want to paint a picture, and spoiler alert, if you haven't read them, but you've had a couple decades to do so, so that's on you, not me. But, you know, in these, you see this, you know, as the children go into Narnia, into the wardrobe, what they encounter is this land that's stuck in this perpetual winter. And so it's stuck in this kind of perpetual cold and iced over, and the image Lewis paints is fairly bleak of the world in which they exist. And as the kids interact with Mr. Beaver and Mr. Tumnus and all these different, you know, creatures from within Narnia, what they soon find out is the source of this is this white witch that really represents kind of the evil in the world, if you will. And what's fascinating is as the story is progressing, you see these children walking through this world, wrestling with what the witch means. One of the boys, Edmund, is, you know, kind of betrays the other kids and finds himself allured by the white witch and kind of on that side. And it's fascinating because we're getting towards the end. We haven't finished it yet. We'll finish it in a day or two. Towards the end, as Aslan, right, who's the god figure, begins to show up, you see this subtle change, and Lewis just masterfully demonstrates this shift from kind of the dark, bleak, perpetual winter with no Christmas is the way he describes it. And so as you work through this part of the story, as Aslan shows up, this god figure, as Aslan draws nearer and nearer, you begin to see the very landscape of Narnia change. And what I thought I'd do is I wanted to just read this section. It might be a touch long, but I think it's worth it. And in this moment that I'm about to read is Edmund, who is kind of been allured by the White Witch, they're on their way to try to beat Aslan and the other kids to a specific area. And so as they're doing this, they're seeing the effects of Aslan's presence. So let me just read this. So again, imagine a land that's been filled with snow forever, and then this is what happens as they recognize the shift. Lewis writes, "Every moment the patches of green grew bigger and the patches of snow grew smaller. Every moment, more and more of the trees shook off their robes of snow. Soon, wherever you looked, instead of white shapes, you saw the dark green of firs or the black prickly branches of bare oaks and beeches and elms. Then the mist turned from white to gold and presently cleared away altogether. Shafts of delicious sunlight struck down on the forest floor, and overhead you could see a blue sky between the treetops. Soon there was more wonderful things happening. Coming suddenly around a corner into a glade of silver birch trees, Edmund saw the ground covered in all directions with yellow flowers. And it goes further later on. It says, the trees began to come up fully alive. The larches and the birches were covered with green and with gold. Soon the beech trees had put forth their delicate, transparent leaves. As the travelers walked under them, the light also became green. A bee buzzed across their path. This is no thaw, said the dwarf, suddenly stopping. This is spring. What are we to do? Your winter has been destroyed, I tell you. This is Aslan's doing. If either of you mention that name again, said the witch, he shall instantly be killed. Man, I just love this. This passage just really stood out to me because, you know, Lewis is illuminating this idea that when Aslan comes, winter or spring is born. Winter is destroyed. And so Lewis just so beautifully and articulately explains like the way in which the winter is thawing out. The brokenness of creation is thawing out and giving way to spring. And you sense the fear in the White Witch and the fear in the dwarf as they recognize that they are no match for Aslan. And I think it's so poetic and it's so just beautiful imagery. Because I think for us, again, in this moment, I instantly think of Paul's words in Romans 8, right? When he says that all of creation is groaning. Right? All of creation is aching to be made right. And as we've been in this shelter in place for so long now, there is a sense in which we are groaning, we are longing for God, we're longing for Aslan, if you will. And it is in that hope that God is thawing out the winter. He's bringing about spring. He's bringing about resurrection. And I think it's just a good opportunity for us to reflect on that, to again continue to foster that sense of adoration within us. So what I thought we would do for our meditation today is we would just consider Romans 8, we consider Lewis's words here in Narnia, and we would just think about the ways in which we have seen spring breaking forth. We've seen the way that winter has retreated, that God is in fact moving in this creation. So why don't we begin? And as you do, again, come back to the moment, remind yourself that God is here and you are present as well. Take a few deep breaths and just bring yourself back to the here and now. I want to do this meditation really in two parts. I want to do the first on where has creation been groaning? Where is it that you have sensed this kind of angst, this winter, this perpetual winter, as Lewis describes in Narnia? So even now, begin to feel that. Where is it that your heart has grown a bit cold? What is in the midst of this that you're just really struggling with? Again, maybe it's the fear, the anxiety of the unknown or the future. Maybe it's illness or the hurt of loved ones. Maybe it's loneliness. But whatever it is, I encourage you to bring that to your mind now and sit with it in the presence of the Holy Spirit before God, knowing that God is near, He is with you in that. And then now, as you sit with those cold thoughts, those things that remind you of perpetual winter, the groaning of creation, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind the ways in which you can sense that winter thawing. Where is it that God is bringing about goodness in the midst of all of this? What comes to mind? Is it the feeling of the sun on your skin as you walk around? Is it the joy of a child's smile? Is it the slower pace of life that this moment's brought? Or maybe a deep sense of trust in God? But But as Lewis so beautifully wrote, where do you see the snow turning to trees? Where do you see the snow melting, the flowers blooming? Where do you see spring being birthed right in the midst of what seems like a long winter? The story of the scriptures, the story of our hope, the story of God is that He is renewing all things. And that creation groans because it longs for that day. So, church, where is it that you see God in the midst of this, bringing about new life, bringing about spring that's breaking through winter? Allow the Holy Spirit to continually remind you of the things that God has done and the things that God is doing. It's in those things that we hope. We hope in the God that continues to make things new. So church, may you hold on to the hope, this line from Lewis's work, that soon there were more wonderful things happening. Soon there were more wonderful things happening. Church, may you hold on to the hope that God is in the midst of this, creating a spring, a new resurrection, a new life, right in the midst of this, right in the midst of what you're doing. So church, may you have eyes to see that. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening today. Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. It's hosted by our Generations pastor, Kevin Sneed, with original music by Brandon Passion, our worship pastor. Be sure to check back daily for more episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening.